This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
We're Nigerian Football Hackett. Good morning. 5 minutes gone past 8 o'clock. Thank you for staying tuned to the biggest conversation in the region. My name is Eno Ogbeviri. We're talking politics this morning ahead of the 2023 elections. But I'm going to do something first. I'm going to play the SDP campaign for MKO Abiola in 1993. The MKO Abiola SDP campaign of 1993. And you would listen and hear the issues that, you know, they said they were going to deal with when they get into government. Take a listen.
Now, why for this life, oh, na so so palaba? I tire for this problem, I tire for life, oh, Guinea. No work, no food, no house, no life. The small water, then they bring, na so so dirty, they pull them. The small money, I they get, na so so transport, they chop them. School low, na headache, hospital, no work, I tire for life, oh. My brother, wetin you they think, oh. My sister,
you are tuned in to 92.3.
That commercial was played 29 years ago, and here we are again. 2023 around the corner. Next year to be 30 years exactly since that commercial was played. Where are we as a nation? We will troop to the polls, all things being equal, in 2023 to vote in new leaders, political office holders, that is. And their primary role is to make the country better for everyone who lives here, for everyone who does business here, for everyone who falls ill here, for everyone who needs an education here, for anyone who needs a better life. That's the primary role. Security and everything in between that makes it possible for our life expectancy to increase. 30 years and counting, 60 years and counting after independence, this is where we are. There are several issues that are on the plate this morning. For those who've been following the news, we've heard some candidates come out to say they're going to contest. There's also the issue of, oh, the age or the ages of these people, they are too old to run. Remember the not too young to run bill that, you know, we went through that and we're here now again. Another election beckons. Aisha Yusufu, rights activist, joins me via the phone this morning. Aisha, good morning. It's good to have you on the show. Thank you for your time. Greetings from Port Harcourt, River State.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure being here, and of course, I don't know, apologies for the whole thing happening in Port Harcourt, the suit issue. It's crazy, but honestly, we feel for you guys every day, and we do hope we can do more to ensure that issue is addressed. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, the state government is doing something. We've heard that the federal government is doing something. They're going to set up 3 modular refineries in the oil-producing region. We don't know how fast that will happen, but of course we remain hopeful. And hope is one thing that Nigerians have been holding on to for many, many years, especially when it comes to an election year or the year before an election. They're believing, hoping against whatever it is, all odds, that they will get a person that will come and make life better significantly for the people. But 60 years and counting, we don't seem to have seen or had that opportunity or that good thing happen to the nation. So here we are. Let's start, first of all, Aisha, with the candidates that have been thrown up so far. What are your thoughts?
So first of all, before I answer that question, I was just the jingle that the 1993
SDP campaign.
Campaign jingle that you played for me, it's so profound, because I remember that was the first time that I could vote.
Okay.
I was 19 at the time, and I was so excited, and I was so happy, and I felt finally I had the right to be able to choose the future of Nigeria, who governs Nigeria. And I remember proudly standing on the queue, because we had that, I think they call it option A for something, we stood behind whoever was your candidate, and we were counted. And at the end of the day, that election was cancelled, and for me it was so devastating. And I just said I wouldn't vote anymore. And I think for the next was it how many years, over 15 years or thereabout, I didn't vote again until 2011. when Ribadu will come out to run. And for me, it was because of Ribadu coming out to run. And I said, okay, fine. Now we have candidates that still were competent. All the ones that were running are like, nah, they never gave me that reason or belief or hope. Like you're asking us to come out and run. So in 2011, I picked up another voter's card and voted again after the first one that I did in 1993. Why am I saying this? A lot of people are out there. Yes, they have given up. They don't want to think about what is going on, or the kind of people they see, and all of that. And most importantly, they are looking for who is it that will give them that that hope for them to be able to come out and do vote. It's really sad that almost 29 years, you said, I'm 48 now, so I was 19 then. 29 years after, it's still the same story and even worse. We are still looking back and saying that, oh, then we look at certain things and say they were better than that it is now and stuff like that. So one of the things that is instructive is the fact that nature abhors vacuum. And if competent people do not come out, anyhow people will come out. And so what we must do as citizens is stop waiting for candidates to be the ones to declare themselves, to tell us who they want, they are the ones running, and for parties to tell us who they want us to endorse. Because what we have in Nigeria right now is actually not an election, it's an endorsement. After they've given us, and then we begin to say, oh, the lesser of evil, who is like, no, the lesser evil becomes a monstrous evil in power. So what we must do, we must begin to have a people's convention. Where are we? We must begin to look at the candidates that we see fit, not the people we like. Politics is not a love affair. Leave the emotions aside. Politics is about being pragmatic. Who are the people who are competent, whether we like them or we do not like them, whether they are from the same region or not from the same region, whether they are the same tribe or not the same tribe, whether they are the same religion or not the same religion, the same gender or not, but if they are the most competent people, then we are putting them forward and we are saying to parties, these are the people that we want you to give the party tickets to. If you do not give them the party ticket, we will take our votes to whoever it is that gives them the party ticket. In that way, the power that truly belongs to the people will actually come and rest with the people. Now we don't have, now we just have people train themselves, and we have people who are unfit for leadership, but because they have bags of money, some of them have rooted money, some of them have taken our collective work, and they are coming out, and they're running, and then we are just, then the conversation is about any of them. As for now, I haven't seen anybody, especially the presidential, for president, I haven't seen anybody coming out, I haven't seen any candidate, so that's my own opinion. I'm not going to discuss anyone as non-issue. I'm waiting for people who have competence, character, capacity, with people coming out. And I'm waiting for citizens to also be able to have the guts to be able to say, this is what we want. Not just choose for what we don't want and choose which one can we chill most. No, we need to go beyond that. We've been doing that all these years. That's why these problems don't change. After 1993 election, there were a lot of people who fought for Nigeria, who fought for democracy, who gave their life, who put their life on the line. But guess what? When it was time for politics, they didn't participate in politics. They stayed out of it. And then they watched other charlatans get into office. 3 years after those people got into office, they couldn't be deployed anymore. And they brought in all sorts of manner of things, from even the insecurity we have today, from the security outfits they had that were all over the place, protecting them one way or the other, gave arms to people during politics, and these arms couldn't be retrieved. And see where we are, how many years of later, we are all suffering. So I think, for me, the hope is that let's stop doing what we were doing before. Let's dare, let's be different, let's check and begin to check. Amongst us, there are people we know that can do well. They don't have the money because they did so well. They had character, they were competent, they were honest, they were patriotic, they didn't steal our money. So they don't have the money to come and run campaigns. They don't mind when to put those ads. So they didn't start going everywhere and giving us money. We will be the ones to give them our 1 naira, 10 naira, 100 naira, 1,000, 1 million, whatever it is we have. Give them, they get into office, we hold them accountable. They don't do the right thing, we bring them back home.
I know that they tried that in Kogi State with Senator Dino Melai, but it didn't quite work. And for many people, recalling
a candidate. Can I just explain on this floor? What was done with Dino Melai was a recall, right?
Yes.
The recall didn't work. So, fine. There are different ways of bringing in bad people. The next election, you don't vote them. The reason why the recall didn't work is because of what we have. in our constitution, our laws. You expect, first of all, when somebody is being voted into office, I don't think there has been an election where we had 50% of voters, the registered voters turnout. Mm-hmm. But you find as little as 10%, 15% of registered voters is what the person will use to win. But you are not saying when the person needs to be recalled that you need to get 50% of the registered voters that you are not even sure they exist, because they are not even, some of them have died, some of them have whatever, they're not even sure of those names. So these are some of the things that need to happen. We need to be deliberate in what we do. Right now, we are not focusing on the legislative arm of government. The legislative arm of government is the bedrock of democracy. And so we need to get people into the legislative arm of government, competent people that are going to sanitize our laws that we have. Instead of the rule to be that 50% or and above of registered voters, why don't you make it 50% of the number of votes that the person got to office? That is what the number that can be used to recall the person. Mm-hmm. That will make it easier. And how do we get this law? Even when people are agitating for a new constitution, regional control, all of those things, it's not necessarily a president that will give it to you. The legislative arm of government can give that to you, because they're the ones that have the power to pass law, to make laws, oversight function, and also hold executive accountable. And when they make this law, if the president does not assent to the law, they can use their veto power and use two-thirds and be able to pass on the law. So we need to be deliberate. Nation building is about being deliberate. We are used to this shortcut mentality in Nigeria, where we come, if you see a queue, you give 500 naira, they'll pass you, or you talk to somebody, or you instead of employment, you go and meet the oga, or contract, you meet the oga, you shortcut, you go in and you get it. That mentality is ingrained in us, and we think that we're going to carry it to nation building. Nation building is not done with shortcut. Nation building is done with great sacrifice, hard work, being pragmatic, being strategic, putting in all the work. And those are the things that we need to start to do now. When we need to start to do with the policies, because policies affect all our lives. Every aspect of our life is affected by governance, and governance is affected by policies, and it depends on the people we put in, and as the role that we play as citizens, which is the demand role, and most times we do not play that.
So the motto of voter apathy, I mean, it comes up again and again and again, and you hear a lot of people say, oh, the votes don't count. Do the votes really count, Aisha?
Absolutely. The biggest lie that is told in Nigeria is that votes don't count. And guess who these lies are told? The lies are told to the elite, the middle class, the more educated ones. If votes don't count, politicians will not be buying votes. When they tell you votes don't count, they want you to stay at home, to be watching Premier League and La Liga and Telemundo, and be watching and be collecting your AC and whatever, playing ball out there. Meanwhile, the people that they know that they have weaponized their poverty, they have weaponized their illiteracy, and they know that they can buy their votes, they will bring them to the polling unit and they will give them money, and they will collect their votes for them. You that you are at your house watching that TV, those people that have sold their votes to them, they will now come to you for the next 4 years, telling you that their children are sick, they have hospital bills, whatever. You carry their burden, because after collecting that vote, those politicians will abandon them. They will come to you, you'll be the one to carry their burden. And then you are more burdened, because the bad these people who are not educated, who voted in these politicians, who do not realize the relationship between governance and our lives, we vote in people who make wrong policies. These wrong policies will affect you in your businesses, in your place of work and everything, and you'll be more burdened, and you still have the burden of just no other people who sold their votes. So it's a smart way of, you want to get the who are the strongest people that you know you cannot be able to sway. They know there are a lot of us that, you know, 5,000 will not buy our votes. They know we are educated. They know if you are at that polling unit, you will not allow them, the others, to buy those votes. So they will do everything to keep you away. That is exactly what is happening. Vote count. If we all register, that's what we should be doing. Everybody, pick up your PVC. You pick up your PVC, get other people also to pick up their PVC. All of us, we must be political activists. All of us, we must be on the street. We're either running for office because we know we can give competence. We're either in the campaign team of those who are running for office. We are helping them to raise money, or we are holding them accountable when they get into office. So everyone, we must put our money where our votes are. If you don't have money, you have time. If you can't donate money, donate time. So so that we get the right people into office. And if more people come up, for example, there is 70% turnout, 80%, everything will not be done. Most of the time, what they do, again, another thing also is that when you register and you do not come to vote, your ballot paper, you make it available for whoever is the person, the strongest person, most of the incumbent, whatever party you see, they're all the same. The incumbent, you give them power to complete your ballot paper. Remember, the umpire, INEC, will send in the number of registered, the ballot papers representing the number of registered voters, maybe plus a bit of extra in case there's any problem. And then when you don't come, these ballot papers are there. So those people will come, connect with somebody, and then while you are sitting at home watching your whatever it is you're watching, they are completely on your paper. And then somebody comes out and wins. So that vote don't count. It's the biggest lie that has been used. So unfortunately, it's the educated ones that buy those lies. For the people whose poverty has been weaponized and their literacy also weaponized, they know that votes count. And every 4 years, their votes are being bought. And for the policy, it's quid pro quo. They know that the people have something of importance, and so they collect that something of importance and give them a bit of 5,000. Sometimes it's even less than 5,000, 500 naira, and sometimes maybe 50 of season is what they give.
All right, so we've got people voting over the years, money politics, stomach infrastructure. And here we are now. People are poorer than they were in 2019. How do you think this will play out in 2023?
People will be poorer if they are not deliberate. It's as simple as ABCD. I say this, when people say, oh, take us back to 2015 era or whatever. It was poor then. It wasn't as poor as it is now. By 2023, 2019, 2018 was worse. 2019 is better than what we are right now, 2023. 2023 is worse than 2019. And if we continue on the path we are on now, 2026 will be worse than 2023. There are no two ways about it. If you like, because it will not be my portion. If you like, say, inshallah, it's not me. If you like, say, it's not my whatever. It will happen and you'll be here happening because God will not do for us what he has given us the capacity to do for ourselves. Nigerians think that they have taken to prayer. So if I get my own personal miracle, I have my money, I am rich, no problem. The country can go to blazes. But the thing is that we are all affected. The insecurity, the bad roads, the whatever, you can have all the money, you're driving on the road, somebody has not developed the place that was supposed to be developed, there's an accident, you fall and die, before there's no ambulance to pick you up to the next, and especially the person bleeds to death. No matter the money you have, Nigeria can do you when Nigeria decides to do it. Like I always say to people, we are all victims waiting to happen. So the thing is this, because we have never been deliberate, we either don't care when elections are, well, even though elections are there, I can't go there, whatever. It's either we don't care, or we are indifferent, we say we will not do it, and then the people who care, they will continue to come, and they will continue to do it, and they will continue to give us bad governance. And the thing is that there are two sides of governance. Before I forget, let me mention this. These two sides are the demand side and the supply side. The people who we vote into office are the ones that are supposed to supply. Those of us who vote them into office are the ones that are supposed to make demand. And if you do not make demand, there's no incentive for the people voted into office to supply good governance. It is easier to supply bad governance than it is to supply good governance. And you know the human nature, they will always do what is most easy for them. So we too, citizens don't make demands. You vote somebody into power and then you go and see. Even when other citizens are making demands from the government, you find that our fellow citizens are attacking that citizen for making demands from the government. Oh, you're an armchair critic. Oh, you're only talking because they didn't give you an appointment. Oh, it's because of this. You are looking for money. And okay, so you are looking for money. That's the reason why the problem that is the problem should not be spoken about. Oh, this person, when the other person was there, why didn't you say this? Because it's my, we are the same religion or the same tribe. Or they say, that's why you are not talking. As long as you continue to do this kind of, this sentimental politics, we will continue to have bad governance in Nigeria and it will continue to work. There are no two ways about it. So it is either we decide to say, okay, we need to be deliberate about what we put in. We might have candidates, we don't like them. We've quarreled with them before, but we know that they are the most competent. We vote for them to go in. Politics is not a love affair. Keep emotions aside. Politics is about being pragmatic. It's about shared values. When your shared values align, you work together. When they don't align, everybody finds their way. That's as simple as ABCD. Love ourselves. When you have a love ourselves, put your emotions there and be putting all of this in. Until we the citizens get to that place, we continue to have bad governance being put on. So we need to, this is the time. All those years that you've been praying for miracle and everything, and I'll tell you, we have a big issue because religion has been used to, religion has been weaponized in Nigeria. Religion has been used to enslave a lot of people. I'm a Muslim. There are a lot of Muslim imams that are enslaving people, as well as there are a lot of Christian pastors that are enslaving people, and the Baba Lawos and the Dibias and the Gokas enslaving people. They keep people down. They tell you not to go and be praying to God. But when they are looking for tithe and when they are looking for sadaka, they don't pray to God for God to pay on your behalf. But they will come and ask you to donate. But when it comes to your own problem, they will say to you, oh, you know, don't hold, let's pay for Nigeria. Why are you holding government accountable? Somebody, they will tell you protest is haram. They will tell you all sorts of things. We need to be able to fight that hold that the religious slave owners, like I call them, have over the people. And let me tell you the relation. There's a symbiotic relationship between our religious rulers and our political rulers. They need each other. The political rulers, they need our religious rulers to keep the people subdued so that the people will not rise up against them. So you find that on one side, they are saying to you, for example, if you are a Christian, they will say to you, pray for your miracle. Your miracle will happen now. Doctor of prosperity. No, you will get it. When you get your own, what's your own about Nigeria? And then you continue. On the other Muslim side, we find that the imam will be telling the people that, oh, why bother? You suffer, endure the suffering. When you get to heaven, there is paradise that you're meant to enjoy and see this thing. Everything will be given to you. You have so and so. So why bother and all of that? So you see, at that moment, what is being done? The people now abdicate their responsibilities to God. These same people that will fight for God and then they will leave their fight to God. They will not be praying for God to do for them what God has given them the capacity to do for them or themselves. On the other hand, the religious are rulers. They need the political rulers to give bad governance so that they can be able to sell cheap miracles. So you get a job, you are going to do testimony, you are shouting. When you come out, you finish your NYC, your university, you carry your this thing, your certificate to your pastor, to your malam, to your broker, and all those people, they bless it, and you get a job, you come, you're doing testimony, this person is pastor, come on. Just like what people get all over the place. When you have, it's a norm. When you leave your place, in places where there's good governance and development, it's not a big deal. Oh, your person was sick, they did one surgery, or the person, they're doing miracles. So they sell this cheap miracles so that they will not have more followers that they are enslaving. And so it's a symbiotic relationship. And these are the things that we have to fight. I've said to people, I'm going to mention this here. I've seen people who come to me, you're talking about Nigeria, and you're saying, no, let's pray for Nigeria. It's only God that will solve Nigeria's problem. Okay, you say it's only God that will solve Nigeria's problem. I know Allah. Then a few minutes or sometime later, you are sending mail that you need certain amount of money. Mm. I will tell you, it's only God that will solve your problem. Why did you take the action of sending your message to somebody that you need money? Why didn't you just sit in your room and just be praying and fasting? And because remember that faith without work is dead. God said you should stand up so that he will help you. Then you refuse to stand up on nation building. You sit down, but you take an action when it comes to your own. There's an enabling environment that comes on. And I always say to the elite, we also are the problem because we enable people. People will refuse to hold their government accountable. Then we vote anyhow kind of people. And then after they finish voting those anyhow kind of people, for the next 4 years, they are coming to your place and they are telling you that, oh, they need money for healthcare. They need money to pay the school fees of their children. They need money. They're not eating. And then you play the role of government in their life for 4 years. After another 4 years, they will come again and vote incompetent. That's the problem. Until every one of us begins to do what we're supposed to do, we'll continue to have all of this issue. And there must be ultimatum. There must be tough love. And I've said to Nigerians in diaspora, why are you spending all this money to Nigerians? We sit down here, we do nothing. We're voting all sorts of people that we know can't do the right thing because we're too lazy to put in the work. We vote them in, and then when we have problems, we are calling you people to send us the dollars and pounds and euro that you are working for, that you're working so hard there for. Tell us to face our government and get what we need so that we will have them.
All right, so we've had people over time saying, they've done advocacy, they've done activism, but it looks like nothing is happening. What exactly is going on in that mix?
In general, we haven't done anything. That's the thing. You can't say you've done something when you've not truly put it to the end. You start something. Even when it comes to advocacy, that staying power. You do one, you do what you go, or no. You fight for yes. See, there's no situation. You see where we are today as Nigerians. UK was worse off one time. US was worse off. If you read the book of you, as of 1970s, I think, no, 1930-something, 1920-something, the mafia were the ones in control of politics. For being a good person, you were mocked. I can't remember the name of this police officer that took on the fight of bribery in New York Police, NYPD, the New York Police Department, that took on that fight because he felt that, you know, they that were not collecting bribes were the ones that were being shamed and, you know, stuff like that. Because the corruption was so much. The whole thing, the bad governance, as far back as the late 19th century, 18-something, 19-something, there was a course I did recently. We did a case study. Can't remember. You know, the president, oh, Lord, I've forgotten the name of the president now. In U.S., there was a land, a forest ranger. There was corruption. They were cutting off the land and giving their friends. And he reported to the president, and the president was saying to him, oh, he should leave it. He should just leave there. The guy said, no, he went public. The president fired him. Now, in the U.S. So what we are going through is not peculiar alone. But the thing is that people stood up and fought. People stood up consistent and begin to make deliberate choices. That's what we've not done. We start something. For example, we could have had a turnaround. Let me give you an example. And this might be my opinion. Other people may differ on it. So after the 1993 cancellation of election, there were a lot of professional people. There were a lot of people who came out who were fighting for that democracy. But they didn't take part in the 1999 election. Probably most of them felt that, oh, maybe the military weren't going to go away. Or they said they didn't want to participate in politics. And because of that, and all sorts of manner of people came in. If only at that time, 92 competent people who had their back over the Dr. Obi, because these are people that were Dr. Obi as a question. In 1993, they were fighting against, they had their professional body, they were fighting against, you know, Abacha's regime and all of that. If then they had taken part in politics and gone into offices, Nigeria might be on a different path. But notwithstanding, we learned from the past, right? So for me, when we say we've not done anything, anybody telling you we've not. We always leave. Even if when you do protest, it's where you start somewhere, we stop, we move on, people. Because there's this, always that thing of that fear, you know. Let me explain it a bit, digress not too much. One of the things we need to understand is that the first set of dictators that Nigerians came across with are their parents. Parents are our first set of dictators. You don't allow your children to talk. Hey, shut up. Elder is always right. They don't have a voice. It's what you say. Then you must respect every elder. So when we were growing up, you dare not even talk when your parents are talking. You dare not even interrupt. It's even now that children have more voices. We didn't have those voices. Those of us that had those voices, that question that we asked why, we were called stubborn children. And so these children went to now go to school. Teachers oppressed you. Teachers will even fail you if you bring an information out of their nose. You went into university. You face oppression all your life. So when we grew up as adults, we simply replace our parents, teachers, and adults around them with government. So government is now the new oppressor. And we feel okay with it. So some people say, why are you even protesting? Why are you even all like that? Nothing we say. No, so that mentality, we have been brought beaten. No esteem, our self-esteem taken away, our self-worth taken away. And so we really haven't done the putting the work we're supposed to put in. We really haven't done the fight we're supposed to put in. And that's why right now, we should not stop saying that, oh, we've done everything, we've done nothing. What we need to do is start working and being deliberate, making deliberate choices, making strategic choices, working with each other, forming alliances, working together. The politicians, you see, they don't love each other, they don't like each other, but they work together. That's what we fail to do. Instead of us to work together, we're busy fighting each other and busy saying that, oh, you hate this region, I hate this religion, I hate this tribe. Meanwhile, poverty does not care about religion, tribal. Poverty does not care. Bad governance, corruption, lack of good quality education, bad roads. They don't care whether region, they don't care about region, they don't care about religion or whatever. They are everywhere and it's affecting us. And when Nigeria will say to me, oh, we are too divided, we are not the same kind of people, so we can't work together, I always say to them, why don't we focus on the problems that we have? bad governance, lack of accountability, lack of rule of law, lack of development, lack of good quality education, lack of jobs, the unemployment that we have. Why don't you focus on these problems that are unique to all of us and use it as our rallying cry? Because those are now our shared goals. Mm. To be able to stop them will be our shared goals. When we fight them and get them, and we are living in a country where there's 24/7 electricity, we are living in a country where when you leave your job, so while you are still cooling, you can be working and earning money. We live in a country where development is being, medical care is top notch, people are coming to Nigeria for education, tourism and all of that. Then we cannot look each other and say, they are saying, yeah, you know, they talk the same language. Say, until then, we don't have business focusing on issue of religion, issue of tribalism, issue of gender. We should be facing the basic common problem that we have, uniting on them and ensuring that we have a better life. Nigerians should be able to live rather than surviving.
All right, let's look a bit at the NSAS protests. You were there. Vis-a-vis this, we're not united. This, we're not united narrative.
So the NSAS protest showed us, just like the Bring Back Our Girls movement also did, the NSAS protest did it more, added on it, showed us that Nigerians can be united on an issue. There was a particular, and that explains just the things that have said this far, which is that you don't need to like each other, you don't need to be from the same place. All you need to do is to focus on your shared goals. What are your shared, and shared goals can change. You can have shared goals today, the next minute we no longer have shared, the same shared goal. It's okay. When if it's a day after that we now have shared goals again, we come together again. So you see, with the NSAS protest, the shared goal was police brutality. So young people were being brutalized, they were being killed, they were being maimed, they were being shot at, their monies were being taken away, they were being harassed. If you had dreadlocks, it was a crime to the police. If you had tattoos, if you were good looking, you had a car, you had expensive mobile phone, expensive laptop, it became a problem. And so over the years, they kept killing them, shooting at everything. And they got to a place where they were tired, and they came together based on that shared goal that they had, which was to stop police brutality. And they came out and they protested. And we saw what happened with that protest. Beautiful, amazing, you know, Nigerians coming together, forgetting about religion, tribe, and all of that. Over, I think about 31 states or thereabouts, NSAS protests happened. But then, when it happened, you saw the way it was going. You saw the effect it had. And then government did what? Government became a genocider. Government became a terrorist government. And I'm mentioning this. This is me, Aisha Yusuf. I live in Abuja. And it's right from where the president is. So if the NBC wants to find anybody, who should come and meet me. This has nothing to do with Nigerian Info. And this terrorist government that we have went ahead and killed people, kept killing people all over the place and ended up killing people. And they see what happened again. When they realize that one of the things that the people who are giving us bad governance know very well is that when Nigerians unite, they know that their days are over. So that unity of Nigeria, what did they do? They started fighting at it. That's when they now started telling the youth in the north that, oh, no, this NSAS is not about you, it's about this, trying to find divide and everything. And you know, there was a communique that was given, shared by the northern leaders, where they were thanking the religious rulers and the traditional rulers for the role they played in using religion and tribalism on the NSAS protest. It's a communique written in black and white. There were no brazen as to have that thing written down there. So that's the essence of the unity. So everyone, hold on to that NSAS protest and see the way. Forget the time that they were bringing in the lack of the discord and trying to bring it to divide people. Focus on that united thing. And know that if you bring that whole energy back to politics. Protest is not only when you stand on the street, though. It's not only when you're taking care that. There are different forms of protest. And the next biggest protest that we have ahead of us is the 2023 election. People must use it to protest. You must see people who think that it is their fundamental human right for them to be voted into office because they have money that they have stolen for you. You must look at them and say, this is my tenkere, this is my dumpling. I will use it against you. I will give it to somebody who is more competent, who has nothing, to tell you that I am the one with the power, and that the people, the power belongs to the people, and the government derives its power from the sovereignty of the people. It's not the government that is giving the people power, rather it's the people that is giving government power. So these are the things that we must begin to do. And until we know that, and it starts with a mindset. If you think you can, If you think you can't, you can't. Either way, you are right. That's what Henry Ford said. So it's our mindset. And if you know we can do it, we can actually go out there little by little, no talking, no whatever. We are there. First of all, collect our PVCs, get other people to get their PVCs. Talk. All of us, we must be network marketers for election, for PVC. Collect it, talk to people, get them to get those PVCs. Next, we look for candidates. We will have criteria as people to say, these are the criteria. It's just like you, an employer, if you want to put out an advert for a job, you don't wait for anybody to just walk in and tell you you want to work in your office. You tell them what you want. That's what we should be doing. When we put out the criteria, these are the things we want from our leaders. Those we feed our freedom, we give them. We vote for them. It's on that day of election. We all go there, carry other people along with us. Let's go and vote for our candidate. We begin to make that we see that. And when we vote for them, not that you vote for the person and go and see, or you say that, oh, because I voted for somebody, I'm not going to vote the person accountable. No, your business, the day you vote for somebody, it ends there. You sign a pact, and your business is to hold that person accountable and ensure that he's doing the right thing. When they are not doing the right thing, you call them back and put them back to order. That's what we're supposed to do as citizens. By the time we start that good governance that we think is one fancy, far-fetched thing, it is people that will not be rushing to come to Nigeria and get Nigerian passports, not Nigerians doing jackpot to other places.
Mm. So the matter of a youth president has come up in many fora, and someone just asked that question on Facebook. They want to know your thoughts on a young, I don't know if young is 40 now, or maybe 40 and, you know, younger. They want to get your thoughts on a young president ruling Nigeria, or, yeah, serving Nigeria. Beg your pardon.
First of all, age is not an attribute for good leadership. It's not a leadership criteria or quality. You can have somebody who is very old, they can give you good governance. You can have somebody who is very young and can give you bad governance. So it's not the same. You might look at it and look in terms of age, sometimes it's okay, the health of the person, can the person do this? But it doesn't mean that the capacity of the person. So let's not use the present president we have because he's a failure as an old person in 70s. And then, of course, you now say that, oh, every old people are like that. My father is around 78. He's deep. We argue over politics. I mean, we've been. I learned how the art of, you know, engaging and, you know, arguing over issues with my dad right from when I was like less than 10. We would discuss politics and everything up to today. We do that and we bring out points and this. And my father, even when I was much younger, he always, if I had a superior argument, point,
yeah,
of course, he would concede to my own point. So that's not the issue. So, of course, for us to begin to say age, yes, you might have useful, it doesn't matter. If the person is the most competent, has capacity, have what it is, fine. But Nigerians also must be mindful of the fact, what is defined as youth? I see some people calling, you look at me and say, youth, I'm not youth, I'm 48, I'm not youth. If you're by the time you're 35, please, you're not youth. 20, to all those 25, in short, by the time you're crossing 30, begin to remove the youth, start slashing it out of your business. So it depends on what age you are looking for. But the most important thing for me, I would say, is the father, it's about getting the competent people. Please, Nigerians, let's not. I know that the last few presidents we've had have really made the presidency to look as if it's a joke. It's not a joke. You need people with competence. You need competence in a whole lot of areas. Competent character, capacity, people with clout, people that, you know, even the world, when they speak, the world listens. You understand? People that, you know, can walk into a room of world leaders and negotiate on behalf of Nigeria. Not the one that you are seeing. Even you are looking at the person, there's no confidence. You can't even negotiate very well. The person cannot negotiate very well. Somebody is talking a campaign. It's not coherent. It's not stringing his thoughts well. And you are thinking of, oh, that's the person you want to lead you or whatever. Those are not the issue. We should look for people that we know. Yes. Even if we got the thing I'm saying, don't think you have to like for somebody to vote for the person. No. You have to know that the person is competent and the person is ready for the job. We need people in Nigeria to who are ready, when they get in, they're already ready for the job. When they get in, they get off flying. Not the one that is going to not ready or begin to see it as a form of, oh yeah, now I'm here, I'll be the one to do this and make this decision. It's opportunity for them to be pecking of office. That's what they are more focused on. No, Nigeria is, it's on a brink. This issue, there is poverty in the land, stark poverty. people are suffering. Millions of people are coming out of the educational system not educated and barely literate. You see somebody with university degree, they're going for NYC, they don't know what is called your place of residence. Some of them cannot write their name. Some of them cannot write letters. Yes, they have degrees. They are unemployable. It's a big issue we have. This is not the time for us to be looking at, okay, no, this is the time for us to be deliberate. And that's what has been missing in our national. So for me personally, for me, it's not about youth. Yeah, a youth person can be, if the youth is one of the youth candidate, you have a youth that is the best, oh, why not? Give them the opportunity. And I don't believe that a person should be disqualified because of their age. Somebody is young or a youth, I say, no. If the youth is the best on the panel, why not? We vote for that youth and hold the person accountable and expect a good thing. But the thing is that for any nation to grow, you need the youth in a whole lot of places, even if it's the legislative arm of government, because one of the things that the youth, they have the energy to work, they are intelligent, they are creative, they can do so much, they have technology, they have social media, they can confront, they can do so many things, and we have a legislative arm of government, we can populate. For me, personally, I just want, just 2023 election, my personal wish would be to have between 50 to 70% of the seats of the legislative arm of government occupied by the youth of Nigeria. They are the ones who they really need to be at the helm of affairs. Not these SSA things that they do them. And if you have more of them in the executive, it's fantastic. But it's not just a single criteria that is what it is. Biden is not a youth. It's in his 70s, I believe. And then it gives them leadership over there. So it's really not about age.
So, you talked about character, competence, and capacity. We've seen people that have shown us shades of that, maybe while they were governors, and then they were taken to other positions, and all of a sudden, we can't hear them, we can't see them, and it looks like, you know, their ingenuity has been cut off. What happened? Is it a systemic or endemic problem, or both? Or is it that when good people get into office, something just goes wrong? Or maybe competent people?
So the thing is this. Character, competence and capacity, yeah, you have that. Character is something that is higher than the other one, right? Most people, most of us, what we do is that character also is where integrity comes in. Integrity is not complete until it is consistent. Most times, we do not believe people when they show us who they are. We rather want, because of what we project, in a land of so many things are doing, so many things that are wrong, and so when you see somebody who has done a bit or something, oh, you're holding on to it. Even when the person is showing you at this, oh, still, this is it, you don't stay. So, in terms of, there are people you have, there are people who change, there are people who they don't change, they've shown you, but you refuse to see what they see. And that's where it comes from. When you're holding people accountable, for example, somebody has done, I'm trying to think top of my head now, some of the things. Let me say, for example, let me use the president right now. President Muhammadu Buhari, in January 2015, he was General Muhammadu Buhari, and you know, there were series of bombings that were going on. I remember I did a series of tweets, and I said, the president, which was then Goodluck Ebele Jonathan, is not talking. I said, Buhari, then he was already the opposition candidate of those two parties. So he too was not talking about the killing, who is talking. And a lot of people came to attack me on that tweet. Why would you say he should talk? He's not yet the president. I said, yes, he's not yet the president, but he's trying to be the president. And if he's not talking now, what makes you think that when he gets into office, he's going to talk? And that's what we're having today. A few months after he was sworn in, I remember there was a thing. No, not even a few months, a few weeks. I think in May, it was only May, June, there was an attack somewhere in Maiduguri. And I did hear and said, the president isn't talking. Why is it that people are killed and the president hasn't made a statement, he hasn't come? And people came to attack me. Why would he say anything? Is he ever silly that he say something, blah, 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 blah? And so later down the years, now people, those same people who attacked me before are now complaining that he's not talking. And I said to one of them recently, I said, look, you enabled him. You made him to not talk. So these are some of the, so when you point out certain issues, people are like, oh, you are too hard. It's not the, there are You know, a lot of things that matter that we must be consistent, and that's where character comes in. You must be consistent about watching those things and ensuring that they are held on. And so when people behave in a way that does not conform with the kind of character that you expect, there must be punishment for bad behavior. And Boris of UK, it's seen the way he was berated by his fellow parliamentarians because of the party that he held, practically fighting for his job in a way. They here, people will say to you, oh, does it matter? Is it not just party? These are the things. Everything matters. When you are a leader, every little thing must matter and people must watch out. So those are some of the things that we have. So those people that will get in there, most of the it's not consistent. So the integrity wasn't there. There are certain things that people need. And then there are people who will say, no, my own integrity does not align with this. I will not do this. But guess what happens? Nigerians will be laughing at them. Nigerians will be mocking them. Let me give you an example. Dr. Abia Ezekwesili in 2019, she ran for president. I was on her campaign team. And as we went on with the party policies and everything, values weren't aligning. There were certain things. I was like, no, if you needed to go for that, you needed to compromise on your own values and your own character and everything. And she made the decision that no, she was going to resign and not continue with the race. But many people would rather, oh, no, these bad people, we talk and everything. But you know what your values are. You know where they do not, what you will not compromise your values for. And you go. And that's where she started this approach, that she's in the sixth politics and now have the School of Politics, Policy and Governance, where it's like bringing up leaders that will be servant leaders, transformational leaders, that we have character, that we have values, and will not negotiate their values. I think the first, at least 300 of them just graduated, another cohort are currently on. So these are things that go on. If we don't follow this, that's why we get there and think that, oh, this person suddenly got there and he's not doing this. But he was showing you the sign before. You did not say, it's not like when you go into abusive relationship. For example, some people are in abusive marriages. Before the marriage, the signs were there. You start saying that, oh, when we get married, it will be better. Oh, no, the person will never change, the worst thing. So the best thing is to nip it in the bud at the time that it's happening. And we must hold leaders to hide. Anybody that has to be in public office, we should stop protecting them. We should stop praising them. We should stop defending them and fighting other people for them. Allow them to be questioned. Allow them to be called out. That's what, because their decision will affect your life. And you want the best of the best there, not just anyhow being there.
Hmm. So, back on Twitter, a key tool that was used in 2015 and 2019. So, Twitter is back. And of course, other social media platforms. People are behind their phones tweeting during elections, before elections. They are tweeting pros and cons and, you know, fighting for Voltrons and all that. Well, here again, what is the best way by which the youths can use their voices to ensure that we have a better deal come 2023?
The best way that the youth can use not only their voices, but the power of the ballot that they have, is to first of all understand that we are all the same with similar problems, and to leave out the issue of the things that have been used, that they have repeatedly been told that divide them. They should put all of those things aside in terms of religion, region, and tribe, and all of that, and focus on the problems they have: insecurity, unemployment, lack of good quality education, lack of development, and stuff like that, and focus on those issues. So when they do that, they'll be able to have because these are problems that affect everyone, they'll be able to have a united voice on that. They should understand that their unity is their biggest strength, and if you saw it in NSAS, their intelligence is their biggest strength. Social media is their biggest strength. Social media democratized media. It gave everyone a voice. So you speak and everyone must hear, the government and all that. Technology is also at their side. They should deploy it. Their crowdfunding ability is at their side. It's easier to crowdfund now than it ever was. It's at their side. So they are able to raise money. And so when they come together, what they now need is to form like an alliance, a consensus, coming together and just saying that, look, these are the things that we want to see. And one of the things for me that I've been asking about is that in this whole political, when people say that youth should participate in politics, that's sort of like disingenuous, because they do participate in politics. It is youth that are the drivers of policies in Nigeria, whether it is for the good, the bad, or the ugly, whether it is when they are using for talk, or the ones that will do strategy, the ones that will run around, the ones that will do mobilization. It's mostly the youth. So they already participate. Can they come together, all the youth in all of these different parties, come together, form an alliance, whether it's intra-party alliance or what do they want to call it, and say, yes, let's have a meeting. And this is our stand. And tell their parties, look, we want so-so-so seats to be given to, certain percentage of certain seats to be made available for the youth, for the competent people that we have to run for this thing. Otherwise, we're not going to do A, B, C, and D. A lot is about negotiating. You can't just be sitting down there fighting for people to go in, and then you are hoping that they will give you SA job or SS job. And when they don't do give you, you go and start doing protests. The last there was a time they were doing protests about other people being employed. I think that was in 2000, after the 2019 election. No, you don't wait. This is your time of power. Use it and begin to hold that. So that's for the youth who are inside the political party. For the youth who are outside, is to begin to say, these are the candidates that we want. First of all, there's one of the things I want everybody, especially youth, when you are thinking about the candidates, ask yourself, where were they during NSAS? Were they there for you all the way? Or is it some of them that at the end of the day, they just tweeted one or two things so that when they are searching, they'll be able to say, oh, we tweeted. Or were they the ones that put their chest out for you? Because you need empathy. One of the things that we, or one of the attributes of leadership that we always do not look at it out for in Nigeria is that of empathy. Empathy, I even think, trumps everything. Because even if somebody is not even competent, when they have empathy, they will try to get competent people to do the work. Mm. So they should, the youth should look at who were the people that had empathy towards them, who were the people that stood with them, who are these politicians, whether politicians or whatever, that will give them their all, that they know that if they get into office, they will do everything to protect them. Those are the kind of people that they should be thinking of and saying, these are the people that we're going after. And then they'll be ready to put in their time and work for that person.
Right.
A lot of people talk about parties and structures. I'll land up now. A lot of people talk about parties and structures. I say to people, parties don't have structures. No party in Nigeria has structures. It is the people that are structures. It's just that the people don't realize that.
Thank you very much, Aisha Yusufu, for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Greetings again from Port Harcourt. There you have it. Very extensive interview. I wish we could go on and take more questions, but that's all we can take. I'll do all I can to bring her on again sometime in March. My name is Enoh Gbevery. Thank you for joining the conversation. Beyond listening, I hope you took some salient points, and there's something we're going to do differently to ensure we have a better Nigeria come 2023. Good morning.